Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing the actual costs of owning a home.
So just before we hit record, you and I were talking, and we were considering naming this episode, Houses Cost More Than You Think, because that's basically what we're going to cover this episode. We did an episode back in the day called Everything Costs More Than You Think.
And it does.
And we wanted people to think through just all the additional aspects that go into whatever purchase that you're making. There are always these auxiliary, tertiary, you know, there are all of these additional expenses that accompany those things.
That we just don't think about. And if we would think
about them. You don't
think
about them in the moment, at least.
Before we make the purchase, if we maybe take just a couple minutes to think about, is this thing going to add any other cost to my life besides just the cost of buying this item? It's really helpful because it could make us think twice before actually doing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of baggage that comes with owning a home. That being said, we're not hating on home ownership. You and I, we are all about home ownership. Ownership in general is great, but homes are an incredible asset that so many people have been able to increase their net worth, their wealth, you know, because of their homes. And so all that to say, we're not completely knocking home ownership, but we do want to make sure that folks are aware of the additional costs associated with them.
Yeah, it's just important to go into it with your eyes wide open.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
All right, let's. Before we get to that, Matt, though, I wanted to mention, I want to ask you if I've been frugal or cheap. All right, so basically, we have our 2006 Honda Odyssey minivan. I love
frugal.
It.
Frugal.
that's frugal. But the problem with it is that it doesn't have an auxiliary input. There's no place for me to...
Oh, for your tunes.
Yeah, plug in my phone and play my Future Islands or whatever, right? And so because of that, we've been forced to listen to traditional radio and...
Oh.
It's rough, dude. There's too many ads, and I hate
traditional radio sucks.
You can't find great bands like Future Islands on the radio.
I cannot think of the last time I actually listened to the radio. The car that we have right now, I mean, we've owned for years now. I know that I don't have the presets. You know, like it always has the numbers up there where you can like preset, you know, your favorite radio stations. Yeah, I have never done that because we just don't listen to the radio.
Yeah, you're either listening to a podcast you enjoy or to tunes, right?
Exactly.
And so, yeah, for us, it's been annoying, and I'm trying to remedy that, right? I want
to. You're going to try to get us on the radio?
No, that's not what I'm going to do.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, how can I actually like find a way to create an aux input here? I could either get like a new head unit installed, right, which is kind of a pain. There's like factory things where I can take apart my current head unit, and I can plug something in the back, and that just takes some time and some effort. And so I haven't been ready to commit to that yet. So I went kind of old school and I got an FM transmitter and I figured I'll give it a shot. So it's like $20 to get this FM transmitter.
Oh my gosh.
And I can listen to my stuff now on my car.
But it sounds like you're listening to the radio, right?
Yeah, it's like staticky and stuff in the background.
Dude, transmitters suck. Like, okay, well, I'll go ahead and tell you what I think. I think cheap.
I think so too.
It just reminds me, I mean, way back in the day, I guess we were in a similar situation. I could have gotten an aftermarket stereo put in our old vehicle, but we were in a similar boat, right? We didn't have the auxiliary input, and I was still rocking my old school click wheel iPod Photo. It was like the first release, the first version of the iPod that was in color.
Those things were awesome.
Yeah, it was so thick. It was the 60 gig, so it was huge, dude. But because of that, I had my entire library on there, and I would sync podcasts and other things on there. And so, of course, I got one of those dongles on there. You kind of slap on the top. Dude, it was always such a pain in the butt to actually get it to connect. And then you're driving along and somebody else is also broadcasting on that channel and you hear some other tunes. I honestly feel like most of our listeners probably don't even know what an FM transmitter is. They're like, wait, what? Like, what did you do?
Because if you own a car that's from the last decade, which I do not, it automatically comes with an auxiliary input or like Bluetooth connectivity, right?
Yes, yeah.
And my car just doesn't have those things. So, all right, I think I need to go back to the drawing board on this.
Well, you can send it back, right?
Yep, I can still
return the box.
It.
Good.
And I think what I'm going to have to do is just, yeah, buy the part that Honda makes and open up my dashboard and do the install on my own.
So you think that's something you can do on your own?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee that there's a video on YouTube where somebody has done this exact thing,
yes,
right? And so it's not like you have some obscure vehicle, you know, you don't have some like Fiat, you know, made from the 70s or something like that, where it's like, no, there's nobody wanting to put an auxiliary input on a Fiat from 1975.
Yeah.
Maybe there is, I don't know. But I guarantee there's someone who's done that on a Honda Odyssey that's about the age of yours, man.
I bet you're right. So I'm going to scour YouTube, find the right part, I'll report back and let you know how the install goes.
Absolutely.
I just got to find an hour and a half or 2 hours to like commit to doing the job.
Oh, okay. So the joke is, in our house, when I tell Kate, when she's like, all right, how long is this project going to take? I immediately have like a knee-jerk amount of time, and then we multiply it by three. Because in reality, I'm like, oh yeah, this is just a 30-minute project. That's how long I think it's going to take, but in reality, it's more like an hour and a half.
It always takes longer. And when it does take what I think it's going to do, I'm like, so thankful. Thankful beyond belief. But that rarely happens.
Well, man, I'm bummed to hear that the FM transmitter didn't work out, but it's worth revisiting. You know, it's like, maybe they got better. Like, you know, like maybe
that's
the technology
would have
gotten better. And it's like, oh, now it's like CD quality. Not quite, though.
I was hoping. And based on the reviews, I was like thinking that maybe, but not quite. Didn't live up to the hype. Not that there's much hype surrounding FM transmitters. But all right, let's mention the beer we're having on the show today. This one's called from Ann Derby Brewing. It's called Derby Juice IPA. Thanks to my little sister, Sally, for donating this beer to you and I to have on the show today.
Thanks, Aunt Sal Sal.
That's how she's known in our
family.
That's
what our girls call her. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the topic at hand, though, Matt. We're talking about the actual cost of owning a home. I remember buying my first home, and I was so naive when I did it. I felt like I knew a little bit. I did some research, but I still honestly was lacking so much information in order to make a smart purchase. I was careful to buy a home that cost less than what the bank was willing to lend me, so that was a good start. But I did a really poor job at thinking through the other expenses that I would incur now that I was a homeowner. Back then, I was more cheap than frugal. I guess I still am sometimes, as we just found out. But so I was able to get some of the furnishings and the kitchen necessities for free or close to it. Donations from friends and free websites,
man,
and stuff like that helped a lot. But there are other costs of home ownership that I was also learning about on the fly, and I just wasn't prepared for them. So this episode is for all of you out there who have the goal of purchasing a home, which is an awesome goal, so that you have a better understanding of the overall costs that are involved with that purchase.
Yeah, it's so important to know what it is that you're getting into ahead of time. You know, many first-time homebuyers in particular think that they're just basically swapping out their rent for a mortgage, you know, and they're like, oh, all of a sudden I'm not throwing away my rent. Instead, now this is building up my net worth. And they think that as long as the numbers are fairly equal, then they won't feel as much of an impact. But of course, you know, many know that you'll now be responsible for repairs and upkeep, etc. Of course, they don't assume that their current landlord is going to come over and fix a leaky faucet, but they still don't factor in the myriad costs. And, you know, they quickly will find out that their housing budget wasn't quite up to snuff. And so we're going to address that today. We're going to talk through all the different ways where essentially we're getting kind of like nickeled and dimed when it comes to owning a home.
Yeah. And again, it's important to go into it with eyes open. And part of the reason we wanted to talk about this today was that a lot of people are buying homes right now.
Right.
Like, the housing market continues to be a bright spot for the economy as a whole, even as inventory remains kind of low. There are a lot of people out there shopping. And just a handful of years ago, Matt, I feel like all the finance writers made it sound like millennials would never be interested in owning a home. Like, this is the generation that's always going to rent. And that turned out not to be true. Our generation is now buying homes in big numbers these days. And in fact, millennials purchased almost 40% of the homes available for purchase that were for sale in 2019. But no matter your age, wherever you're at on the home buying spectrum, whether you're saving up hoping to buy your first home soon, or whether you've been renting for a while and you're thinking you'd like to own a home again, there's a lot of stuff you're going to need to consider.
And also, if you're considering purchasing a home, we wanted to get this episode out there sooner this year than later, because when it is that you purchase a home, it can have a pretty significant effect on the overall price that you pay for that house. Depending on the specific market you're looking to buy in, it can vary. But typically, April, May, and June are going to be the most profitable months for sellers. Homes are listed for less time on the market, and sellers receive higher premiums than other times of the year. So this tells me that as a buyer, you likely want to avoid these months. You want to look to the other months of the year in order to score a deal. So the sooner the better. And that's part of why I wanted to get this episode out there here at the end of February.
Yeah, oftentimes November through January are great times to buy a home. So yeah, especially if you're in the process of saving up, you probably don't want to hit the spring home buying season when everyone else is. You might want to be looking at the off-peak times. And of course, too, total costs attributed to housing continue to easily be the largest expense that we as Americans have in our budget. According to the 2019 expenditure survey from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average house is a whopping 33% of what we spend our money on. That's not ideal, in Matt and I's opinion. It should be, we think it's best to cut down the cost of housing in your life whenever you can. But when we're pouring so much of our income into one specific category, let's make sure that we know where all that money's going and how we can take steps now to prepare for those expenses.
All right, so let's go ahead and dive into it. The first sort of category of expenses that we wanted to address when it comes to homeownership is when it comes to purchasing that home, right? Let's talk about the costs associated with buying a home. And first of all, you know, you want to make sure that your overall finances are in solid shape. An emergency fund is going to come in majorly handy for some of the costs that we're about to detail later in this episode. But, you know, you also don't want to have loads of other debt obligations that you can barely keep up with when you are looking to purchase a home. If you were to do that, you wouldn't put yourself in a very strong financial position. And as you start saving up for that home, you also might need to make some real sacrifices in order to become a homeowner. If it's truly a high priority for you, you might need to downgrade other priorities in your life. Like maybe that's going to involve trimming your beer budget.
Oh, say it ain't so.
Maybe scaling back on your travel plans, which has been a lot easier for folks in the past year. And so this comes down to personal priorities. But most people have to make some budget changes in order to afford that new place.
Yeah, you also need to make sure that you have a solid down payment in hand. That involves many months, often years of saving up in order to have that down payment in your hands. Ideally, Matt and I suggest 20% so that you can avoid paying private mortgage insurance, PMI. But there are some cases and special mortgage products that you can use where it might make sense to purchase when you haven't been able to save up quite that much. We won't get into that in this episode. We've talked about it before. But the more you can put down, the better off you're going to be. Not only can you avoid PMI every single month, but your monthly payment's going to be lower too. And you'll also score the lowest interest rate possible when you're putting down at least 20%. So there's so many reasons that's a good idea, but that's a huge thing that you need to be saving for when you're talking about buying a home.
Yeah, and once you have that 20% saved up, closing costs, those are what you need to think about next. There's a whole host of fees and costs associated with buying a home, but typically they're going to run anywhere between 2 and 5%. So that means you're looking at between $5,600 and $14,000 on closing costs. That's for the cost of the median home that sold in America last year.
So you're saying it's really cheap to buy a home.
Totally cheap. Yeah. $14,000. Super cheap.
Right. No. So yeah, those are the kind of things that I think a lot of first time home buyers, especially, are maybe a little blindsided by. They're like, I've saved up 5% as a down payment, and then they don't have the other cash on hand to pay for the closing costs, so they have to roll them into the loan, or they opt instead to put down less of a down payment in order to put money towards those closing costs. And that just puts you in a weaker position when it comes to your personal finances. And since these closing costs are one-time costs, ideally, you'll want to minimize how often you pay these costs. And you do that by purchasing a home that you plan on owning for a minimum of 7 years. The longer, the better, really, because the transaction costs of real estate are just so high. And it's okay, too, if you don't plan on living in that home the entire time you own it. You might decide to move into another home and rent out the one you've been living in. But the ownership timeline is crucial in order to make sure that you're not getting hosed on a home purchase.
Yeah, that's right. And so these are kind of like these one-time upfront costs associated with becoming a homeowner. But after that, there are additional costs, and we're going to get to all of those, including maintenance costs and what it costs to sell your home. That's right. It costs you money to sell your home. We're going to get to all of that right after the break.
All right, we're back from the break. And again, I want to reiterate, Matt, that we are not trying to dissuade people from home ownership. We just want people to know how much it actually costs before you decide to jump in. There's a strong case to be made that running a home is just as smart as buying a home, and maybe smarter. But I think also there are a ton of reasons to own a home, and I understand that. We both own our own homes. We love it. We own other homes, too, that we rent out. So
yes,
we are not against home ownership.
We're huge fans of home ownership, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I see home ownership almost as bad as like No, it's not quite as bad, but almost like buying a boat, where it's just like, ooh, what are you about to do? Like, have you thought through this? Like, have you thought about the additional costs, the amount of time that it's going to take out of your weekends? I mean, actually, owning a boat is a lot like owning a home.
I would not put it on boat level, though.
Oh, really?
No, it's not that bad.
Owning a boat's like the worst thing you can do.
It really is one of the worst things.
It truly has to be like your passion.
Yep.
It's got to be your craft beer equivalent if you're going to own a boat. But you can't casually go into it. And in the same way, you can't just casually purchase a home. It is something that you could easily get into. It's something you could rush into, but it's not something that you can easily get out of. And we're actually going to get to that later in the show. But first, man, let's dive into these recurring costs.
Yeah, let's do that. Once you've purchased a home, there are ongoing costs that I think can be really easy to overlook. You're going to end up paying them, but you might bust your budget paying them if you haven't factored them in ahead of time.
Right.
And especially if you're a newer homeowner, there are lots of aspects of home ownership that you may not even realize are necessary. Some are required by law. You got to have insurance on that home when you have a mortgage. But other basic tasks like cleaning out your gutters might seem more optional, but they're still important in preserving and growing the value of your home. If you don't clean the gutters, you're going to have other issues.
Water buildup, which leads to rot, which leads to termites.
Yep.
Lots of issues.
And, you know, not cleaning the gutters leads to more expense when it comes to maintaining your home.
Yeah.
And maintaining your home in general just isn't cheap. So let's get down to brass tacks. The age of your property, the condition it's in when you purchase it, and the location where you're buying your home will have a massive impact on the specific costs that you'll be facing. But let's talk about those specific recurring costs, Matt.
Yeah. And so, you know, as we talk about maintaining a home, like, there's a good rule of thumb. It's a rule of thumb that we recommend for folks, which is that 1% of the cost of the home annually is one that you can use to estimate the costs that are going to be associated with maintaining your house, right? So let's say you bought a home that was maybe a little bit higher than the median household cost last year. Let's say you bought a home that cost $300,000. You should be expecting to set aside around $3,000 for just ongoing maintenance costs. And so that's kind of one rule of thumb. Another is if you set aside $1 per square foot every year, right? So again, if you live in a 1,600 square foot home, maybe you can estimate to set aside $1,600 every year in order to keep your home in tip-top shape. And so, you know, when we say general maintenance costs too, you know, we're talking about stuff as small as a leaky faucet and HVAC filters, all the way up to even bigger expenses that you might face, like roof repair or replacement, predictable things, or even like a new HVAC system altogether, right? So, of course, these are rules of thumb, and they're not always going to apply. There's going to be some years where the expenses are a lot lower. There's going to be some years, you know, like maybe if there's a hurricane or something like that, and your roof is already getting old, a tree comes down, which was also getting old, like you might have a really expensive year when it comes to your house. It's going to fluctuate. And so it kind of depends on the home that you pick, as well as a little bit of luck as well.
Yeah. Another recurring cost you're going to deal with every month is utilities. And that's a cost that you need to budget for. Don't assume either that it's going to be roughly the same as what you spent when you were renting a place. Depending on the size, age, and weatherproofing that's been done, you might find yourself with far more expensive monthly utility bills than what you had at the last place you lived. Hopefully, that's not the case.
Yeah.
But move.org has a great resource where they've calculated the average costs of all the different utilities, and they've ranked each state. We'll link to that in our show notes. But especially if you're moving into a place that's bigger, and especially if you're moving into a place that's older, you're likely going to see your utility bills go up from the levels you were used to seeing them at.
And especially if you used to live in an apartment where all of your utilities, including internet, were included. Because that was Kate and I before we purchased our first home. We realized how spoiled we were. and honestly, it's kind of shameful, but how wasteful we were. We moved in, we're just like, oh my gosh, it's so hot. And then we look at our utility bill and we're like, oh my gosh, electricity costs so much money. And so it almost seems like a given, right? People are expecting to pay utilities. In our case, man, we literally weren't. I mean, we knew that, like, oh yeah, there'll be some increased costs because of utilities. But yeah, it truly did come as a shock to us. But in a way, man, all of these sort of categories that we're mentioning right now, they're somewhat optional, right? Like, we have control over those expenses. And this one in particular is one that you probably have the most control over. You certainly have control over your utilities. But when it comes to what you put inside of your house, your furnishings, your furniture, you know, what poster you decide to hang up on the wall. but, you know, this is something to keep in mind, though, too, because, like, especially, too, if you're upgrading in size, this can really get out of hand if you're not being careful. You know, like if, for instance, if you're moving from like a studio apartment to a 3 or 4 bedroom home, well, dang, like now you need new beds, new mattresses, you know, some other odds and ends to tie the room together. You're going to need another dresser, things like that.
The rug from the Big Lebowski, which really ties the room together. You know?
Exactly. But again, luckily we do have a decent bit of control over these categories. The thing is, though, something to keep in mind, and I think we actually did talk about this in the Everything Costs More Than You Think episode, but the Diderot effect, you remember this, Joel?
Yeah, basically you get one nice new thing and then everything else around it needs to be upgraded too.
Yeah, it was like he was a French philosopher and he basically had this theory, or I mean, I guess the philosophy.
Well, I think what happened, it actually happened to him and they named it after him.
Oh, was it?
So I think he got a new robe. Maybe that was it. It was something new that he got. And then it was like, man, everything else around me feels shabby now that I have this fancy new robe.
Or a nightshirt or something.
Yeah, like, I think he was like previously a frugal dude and then he upended everything because he got one nice new thing.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. I mean, the same thing is true when it comes to your home. Like you move in and you're like, oh man, all of our old furniture looks really crappy in this place. And so you upgrade one item and then you realize, oh man, that rug looks really good. We should really get a new coffee table. And then you get the new coffee table and you're like, oh man, it'd be great if we had a leather couch to kind of tie it together.
And a big screen TV.
Yes. And so like I think you run into the Diderot effect, and I'll spell it. It's D-I-D-E-R-O. Diderot.
I think there's a T at the end too.
It's not like Peridot.
I think so.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll link to something in the show notes like explaining it.
Wikipedia article or something. But it's definitely something to keep an eye out for when it comes to buying a home, because I think we can easily fall susceptible to that habit of consumption if we're not being careful.
No doubt, Matt. So maintaining a home, not cheap. Some of the ones that we just mentioned, some of the recurring costs that we just talked about, we have some more control over and we can lower the cost of those things. But then there are other costs associated with owning a home that we have far less control over, but we need to factor those in just as well, right?
Yeah.
Property taxes is one of those things, and they're often included in your overall payment if you decide to escrow that payment. It's a good idea to look into the average property tax costs where you live, because that's going to have a major impact when it comes to affordability. And when you find a specific house that you want to make an offer on, definitely check to see what the taxes were on that home last year, because that alone can make a big difference in your monthly payment, what you're going to owe on that house every single month.
Yeah, and chances are too, unless you get a really good deal on the house, your purchase price, the price that you're paying for that house, will likely increase the property tax based on its appraised value.
That's true.
And insurance is another kind of major cost of home ownership that is also rolled into your escrow, rolled into your mortgage payment typically. You know, renter's insurance is cheap. You might have paid as little as $10 a month for that coverage as a renter. But homeowners insurance will cost you a good bit more. Rates obviously vary by hundreds or even more every year, but it often depends on the insurance company who you go with. So make sure that you shop around. It's really helpful if you go to one of those sites that aggregate multiple quotes. You definitely want to make sure that you're getting the best deal before you purchase that home.
Yep, that's another recurring cost, and you do have some control over that one. Let's talk about home ownership association fees too, Matt. A lot of people, especially if you're looking to buy a condo, you're going to encounter paying a HOA fee. Lots of folks that live in a single family home live in places with an HOA fee too. But if you choose to live somewhere that charges one, be sure to know what's included in that HOA payment. Pool access, landscaping, sanitation, your water bill, those might all be things that are included, but it's important to find out because they might not be.
Yeah.
And HOA fees can change based on how things are run too. So take note of the financial health of your homeowners association and take an active role in the association too. Matt, my mother-in-law owns a condo not too far from where we live, and the building is adorable, but it needs a lot of help. Really? It needs some love. And the HOA fees have been too low throughout the years. So in the past couple of years, they've had to charge special assessments to all the owners of the properties in order to keep up the building and keep it from falling apart. And so, yeah, you want to make sure that the HOA has plenty of funds in reserve, that they're being run well, because the HOA fees could jump dramatically if that's not the case.
Yeah, and that's something that you can ask them directly. It's not something that they will always share with you, but see if you can get a hold of their budget or their HOA report for the year. Similarly, you know, when Kate and I were looking at our first home, we actually looked at a loft not too far from here, and we were able to quickly figure out that the HOA did not have any reserves in it, and they were assessing, they were like levying or whatever, like a special assessment, because the entire roof needed to be completely redone, and it was going to increase the estimated mortgage that we're going to be paying by 30%.
Wow.
And so we're just like, oh, this isn't nearly the deal that we thought it was going to be. This is going to cost a lot to live here, you know, over the course of the next 10 years. So yeah, that's definitely something to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, and I guess a special assessment like that could be considered an emergency, which is the next thing you really need to budget for. is potential emergencies, things that you can't foresee happening.
Your
right?
own emergencies, not, yeah, on your specific house.
Exactly. And so, yeah, that's another reality when it comes to budgeting for the actual cost of homeownership. Most things you can plan for by saving every month in your maintenance fund, right? You can plan for the eventual demise of your HVAC system. But it's important to have savings beyond just those maintenance fees for unexpected things that come up that aren't so big that you'll be filing an insurance claim. And hopefully you're not filing an insurance claim for smaller emergencies that pop up. A down tree limb that hits your roof and does, you know, I don't know, $500, $600, $800, $1,000 worth of damage, or a water line busting would fall into this category. That's an emergency, and it's important to have the savings on hand to be able to deal with it.
Dude, as you're talking through these things, it makes me realize two things, right? First of all, that we have lots of threats around our own house. We've got lots of 100-year-old oaks with branches that extend kind of out towards our house that could potentially, you know, fall on us a little bit, as well
fall
as...
Fall on us a little bit. I like the way you said
just
that.
Just a little bit, you know?
Could potentially crush me in my sleep.
But also, too, like the old water lines. I mean, these are all things that, in particular, like if you have an older home, I mean, you should definitely be setting aside the proper amount every month to make sure that you're going to be able to cover these potential expenses. And I'm realizing too that I think I am underfunding our house maintenance budget. Like, I think I put like $100, maybe 150 into that, you know, category every single month.
Timed up your game on that?
No, seriously. Yeah. I think over the years, because we renovated, I guess, not that, all that long ago, I'm like, okay, a lot of stuff is kind of good to go. But like, you never know. There could be something else. And it's not like we replaced every single system in our house.
Right.
Like, we honestly didn't touch hardly any of the systems. We just added on just a little bit. And I am a pretty handy dude. And so I feel like a lot of times, too, I'm like, well, there's a lot of these maintenance things I can kind of do on my own. I'm not, you know, paying for somebody else. So obviously, I'm kind of in the frugal camp when it comes to stuff like that. But you want to make sure that you have those funds on hand, that you have those, your own personal reserves. That way, when something does come up, you don't cheap out, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You don't want to avoid making a repair or something that you know needs to be fixed because you don't have any money, and then that problem continues to get worse, and before you know it, it's going to end up costing you way more.
Yeah, duct tape doesn't fix everything.
No.
It fixes some things, but not many things. So if that's your goal, or if that's how you're avoiding having an emergency fund, well, you're going to be out of luck at some point, for sure.
Yeah, and when it comes to homeownership, it's not duct tape, it's caulk.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's true, too.
I feel like duct tape fixes all of the rest of life's problems, but when it comes to homes, it's like nothing a little bit of paint and some caulk can't fix. You can just like cover up everything.
That's true. That does work in a number of cases.
But it doesn't always work and probably shouldn't.
Yeah, and NerdWallet has a solid calculator for you to use so you can see the total costs you're likely to incur all in one place. We'll link to that in our show notes. Not to scare folks, but there are, of course, a lot of things you're going to need to consider before you take the plunge into home ownership. And so hopefully our little laundry list of things you need to budget for didn't scare you too much. That being said, we're going to dig into the cost of selling a home right after the break. Just in case you thought owning a home wasn't daunting enough, selling a home has its own costs associated with it. And we'll talk about that right after this.
All right, we are back and we are talking through the actual costs of home ownership. And Joel, we have gotten to our third and final category of expenses associated with home ownership.
Ooh.
And of course, you know what they are because we worked on this together. We planned this out a little bit, but we're going to talk about the costs associated with selling your home when it's time to uproot, maybe move states, move cities, or maybe just move down the block, which you and I have both done within our neighborhood.
All of my moving in the past 12 years has been done in a very, very small vicinity, right?
Yeah.
Like within a mile of each other. So
yeah, but the thing is, we've never sold homes because again, we like homes. We like to own homes. There's a lot of good that comes from home ownership, but we just want to make sure that folks have open eyes when it comes to the costs associated with owning a home. But when it does come time to sell a home, we want to make sure that you know what those costs are as well. Selling a home does come with its fair share of costs, and so just getting a home ready to sell is going to cost you money. You know, you will want to gussy it up in order to get top dollar from a buyer. And if you do this well, you're likely to get every dollar and then more from those minor improvements on the back end. Forking out a little dough to freshen up the paint and stage the home a little bit, like, that's going to entice more buyers to make an offer. If you're selling and you're lucky, maybe you'll even have a bidding war.
Oh, yeah, that's what you're going for,
that's
right?
That's what you really want, man. And that's because we came across a stat in 7 out of 10 buyers are focused on buying a home that is move-in ready.
They're folks, even willing to own a smaller home if it's move-in ready versus repairing.
Yes. Folks don't want to deal with, you know, what, you know, what they would consider a headache. They just want things to be easy. But if you put a little bit of elbow grease into it, if you're willing to put forth a little bit of, you know, mental space, some thought, as well as a little bit of money, you are likely to get more money for your home when it does come time to sell.
All right. You just gave a good stat. Now, I am going to return the favor and provide another stat.
Please do.
2/3 of buyers are making an offer without even seeing your house in person these days.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So it's like literally the amount of people making an offer without having seen the home has doubled in recent years. And so much of that is because of the pandemic, of course, right? Those updates that you're doing to your home could mean even more than they did in the past. The way your home shows online is incredibly crucial in today's market. You might even need to spend more to get great pictures up there, right? You don't want to take them with a flip phone or even maybe your own smartphone. You might want professional pictures up there, right?
Nobody has a flip phone anymore, man.
Hey, nobody, you know, but I bet some of our listeners do because, you know, they want to be analog. They don't want all the notifications and all the buzzing and all that jazz that we have with smartphones these
days.
Are
you able to listen to podcasts on a flip phone? I don't think so. I don't think we should promote flip phones.
I would not go back to one, but I understand if you're into that.
I think one of the reasons we talk about smartphones and how great they are too, like you and I, we had this conversation recently. Smartphones are so amazing because of all the pieces of technology that they've made obsolete in this one small device that you keep in your pocket.
It's true.
Like the calculator, the flashlight, measuring devices, notepads. I mean, the whole world, you know, the internet is at your fingertips.
That's true.
Like, it truly is so amazing, and I don't feel like it's even necessary for me to continue because like I don't need to sell anybody on the idea that, like, smartphones are a good idea.
We get it, Matt.
We've all got one.
They work great and they do a lot for us. But I think like that's one of the things that people do need to consider when they're selling a home. There might be an increased cost to get good photos and a good video up, and that is going to be worth it because it's going to bring the interest. It's going to be a big reason that you actually sell your home, especially with everyone being more focused on what your home looks like on a site like Redfin or Zillow and less focused on what it looks like when you walk through the door. Like, it needs to look beautiful on the internet.
That's right. Yeah, you want to create that buzz. And kind of on the flip side of things here, so that means if you are a buyer and you're looking for homes, don't be turned off by the listings where it looks like, I don't know, really dusty, the image quality is terrible, and you're kind of like, oh, this doesn't look very shiny. Like,
that's how you get a deal.
That's how you get a deal, exactly. Like, those are the houses you should be thinking, okay, nobody else is very excited to see this place. I bet there's a good chance we could even get an offer in that gets accepted that's even lower than asking price.
Potentially.
That's how you need to think about it. But again, we're not going back here. We're not talking about buying. We're talking about selling a home. And, you know, if you're selling your home, you need to keep in mind that your home could sit on the market for a few months, and that right there will also cost you money. We're talking about carrying costs. There are ways to sell your home faster, you know, just like you said, Joel, taking, you know, better pictures and pricing it well. But it's important to know that selling your home isn't always quick and straightforward, and you'll need to be financially prepared for the entire process. You know, you might be stuck for a while where you're paying two mortgages, perhaps. Maybe you've got your possessions in a pod that you're paying for every single week. We are in a seller's market these days, so this really hasn't been as much of a concern. But buyers who do ask too much for their place could still experience the pain of, you know, their listing hanging out for longer than they hope for. They start seeing the days on market start to tick upwards. And when you're a seller, that's never a good look.
Yeah, that's true. At a certain point, it gets like snake bitten.
And it's kind of stale. You're like, ooh, if that thing's been up there for 45 days and like it's still listed, yeah, maybe not.
I better see a meaningful price drop before I go take a look at that place.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Another cost you'll incur when selling a home is realtor fees. That's a major cost when you sell. If you followed our advice and you've owned your home for at least 7 years, that home has likely seen some appreciation, which is great. So those realtor fees will be deducted from the profit that you're making on your home. But you won't actually have to write a check, which is nice. But that doesn't mean that those costs aren't there, right? On the sale of a $300,000 home, you're most likely looking at roughly $18,000 in realtor fees. And that's an important cost to keep in mind.
Yeah, you might be doing the quick mental math of how much you might be able to walk away from the table with, you know, like were it to sell at that amount. And you're thinking, man, I'm going to be able to pocket a lot of money here. But don't forget about those realtor fees. They definitely take a pretty big bite out of that amount. And another expense when it comes to selling your home is the cost of moving your stuff if you're not U-hauling it, right? Like, you know, even just renting your own truck to move across the country, it's not cheap, but hiring movers is far more costly, and the price really does vary. It depends on how full service you want to go.
You can hire the movers who will, like, pack everything for you too, right?
Yes, yeah, that's like the premium movers.
And that is really nice, but it's also really expensive.
Yeah, it comes with a pretty steep fee. That's one of the things to consider. Also consider the size of your home as well as the distance of the move that you're planning to make. You know, if you hire movers, it can easily run into the many thousands of dollars.
Yes, it can. Also, to just real quick, let's dwell on moving for a second, Matt. Complaints about moving companies have soared during the pandemic, and even before COVID, it was an industry rife with problems. A lot of people got scammed out of money or possessions from moving companies, and you might find your possessions being held hostage if you hire the wrong mover too. So it's really important to research any company before you end up using them. Check what's being said about them online and on the website of the Better Business Bureau. Make sure that the company is licensed, and also to consider finding a moving company on moving.org, because it's a trade association that vets movers. If you're just looking in the yellow pages or seeing companies maybe that advertise on Facebook, you might be in for a rough time.
What about a piece of plastic taped to a tree at the exit by the interstate?
Probably not a good idea.
Maybe not.
No, do not choose your mover that way.
Yeah, so that was kind of like a lot of bad news, right? A lot of expensive things. So let's maybe end on a more positive note. Fortunately for most folks, when it does come time to sell your home, taxes are typically non-existent on the sale of a principal residence. Unless your home has appreciated a massive amount, you will receive gains tax-free up to $250,000 as a single person and $500,000 if you're married. And so that's definitely a good thing that you at least don't have to worry about Uncle Sam taking a little bit of cut, a little bit of piece of the action.
Yeah, get out of here, Uncle Sam. Slap that hand away. And Matt, again, I think we've tried to reiterate a couple times in this episode, even though I feel like this is like bad news for the most part. Hey, it's really expensive to own a home. You should really reconsider. But owning a home is great. I am so glad that our family has put down roots in a community. We've lived in our neighborhood for like 12 years now, in our specific house for almost 7 years. And even though we would do it again in a heartbeat, that doesn't mean that it came without real monetary costs associated with it. The key is knowing what the actual cost of owning the home you're looking at will be before you go all in and make an offer, before you upgrade a house either. It's important to know the true costs of home ownership before you make the plunge. Knowledge is power. You know, have your eyes open. The more cognizant you are of all of these different ways a home is going to cost you money, the more you'll be prepared to make the move.
Yes, that is right, man. All right, let's go ahead and take it back to the beer that you and I shared on this episode, and that was a Derby Juice by Ain Derby Brewing, and they're actually here out of Atlanta. They're located up in Peachtree Corners, Georgia, which I don't even know where that is, but I think it's technically kind of within the greater Atlanta area. I've never been there. Have you been there?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, this was, again, a beer that my little sister tossed our way, and I've never had any of their beers before, so it was a joy to get to try one.
Yeah, what'd you think about it?
I mean, I thought it was a nice local brew, and it wasn't magically delicious like Lucky Charms or anything like that, but I thought it was a really solid IPA. And again, Matt, there are so many local breweries now. Literally, I did not know this brewery existed until my little sister pointed it out. She's like more into, like, we're into craft beer.
We're really into craft beer,
and she knows more than I do for sure at this point.
Well, she knows at least about them. I bet there's folks who you know about that she doesn't know about.
You're probably right, but for the most part, she is more knowledgeable, and I'm willing to admit it.
Oh, wow.
I love craft beer. Obviously, it's a part of our show, but I think with three kids and her having none, it's probably a little easier for her to get out to the breweries than it is for me.
Yeah, her and Evan, they get out to the breweries maybe a little bit more than we do these days. That's for
true.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this was a hazy, so it poured a nice kind of hazy color. It definitely sets the expectations as to what it's going to taste like. But I was actually surprised it had a decent amount of bitterness going on. A lot of times some of these hazies can come across maybe a little more full in body, but sometimes they lack in the bitterness. But I felt this one kind of brought some of the West Coast bitterness to the hazy game a little bit.
A little style mixture there going
on,
huh?
Yeah, maybe so. But at the same time, it wasn't overly heavy. I was telling you before the show, I had a massive lunch. Kate and the girls made this chocolate granola. And so when I went up for lunch, as soon as I cracked open the door, it just smelled like brownies. And I was just like, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to eat it.
Must shovel it in my mouth now.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how many bowls of granola with yogurt I had, but I kind of came back down. I was just like, oh, I do not feel like drinking beer today, which I rarely ever say. But sometimes when you eat a bunch of food, you're kind of like, I don't know if I should put more calories into my body. But this one was great, though, because it wasn't too filling. And I'm glad that you and I shared this one.
No doubt. And thanks again to my little sis.
Yeah, thanks, Allie.
And Sal Sal for dropping it our way. All right, that's going to do it for this episode, though. And if you want show notes for this episode, links to some of the stuff we mentioned, including that Nerd Wallet calculator, we'll have those up on our website at howtomoney.com.
That's right. So we hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into the expenses associated with owning a home. And we will see you back here on Friday for our Friday flight, where we tackle this week's news and personal finance. All right, Joel, that's going to be it for this episode. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.